chapter 2, verse 8.
Come on.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were fired up. That's not what it says, is it?
No.
They were terrified.
Yeah.
That's intense. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
Wow.
This was the very first Christmas. Now today, on Christmas Eve, as we prepare for Christmas 2006,
wow,
I think it's very important for us to go back and understand what was the very first Christmas all about.
Wow.
We've been talking for a few weeks how we've taken the Christ out of Christmas.
Yep.
And Christmas has gone from becoming a time where you give out of your heart and out of love to the people that have meant the most in your life, to now becoming such a commercial time where, oh no, I hope there's not somebody I didn't give a gift to, because they'll be mad at me and think I don't care about them. Right?
Yep.
And then on goes the materialism and the advertising to get you to spend the most you can spend.
That's right,
on
bro.
Whatever gift.
That's right.
Now last night I saw a poll. Out of people polled, 94% of Americans polled celebrate Christmas.
Wow.
Only 6% don't celebrate Christmas.
Wow.
But how many of you think really celebrate Christmas in the sense of what it really means?
Wow. Too little, bro.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you really believe that an angel appeared to a teenage girl, who then got pregnant without ever having sex with anybody, and somehow ended up spending the night in a barn where she gave birth to the Savior of the world?
Wow. Incredible.
Do you really believe that happened?
Come on.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Because that, my friends, is Christmas.
Mm.
Luke chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
We're going to look at verse 26 and read about this visit from this angel. It says here, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.'"
Wow.
Mary was fired up.
Nope.
Oh, you see it again. What's the response when angels came? Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel said to her, as he did to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." These had to be some fierce creatures. Powerful creatures. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be filled with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob for a time." No, wait a minute. It can't be forever. Every man dies and his reign is over. Oh, but this was different. He'll reign forever.
Yep.
His kingdom will never end. This is what the angel Gabriel came to say to this teenage girl. Put yourself in Mary's shoes.
Come on.
Imagine, there you are, just a teenage girl, growing up, trying to live life, trying to obey your parents, right? Follow God. And then this awesome angel appears. And tells you have been chosen by God.
Wow.
To carry, give birth to, and raise the Son of God.
Yep.
Is this incredible?
Yeah. Yep.
The Messiah that's been prophesied that would come and bring saving grace to the entire world.
Wow.
This is what Christmas was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, this angel's appearance to Mary, this was a moment that changed everything.
That's right.
Yep.
That's the title of our sermon today. A moment that changed everything.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think Mary's response was to this incredible news? Read on. How will this be? Mary asked, since I'm a virgin. Now, interesting response, huh? I mean, you've just been told you're going to carry the Son of God who's going to bring a kingdom that'll never end and He'll rule over forever. Okay? And God's angel said it's going to be that way. So what's your response? I mean, her response is, but I'm a virgin. I mean, she could have had a lot of different thoughts. She could have thought, well, I am pledged to be given in marriage to Joseph. Maybe after we get married, this is going to happen. It's going to be awesome. But this was her response. Read on. What does the angel say?
Come on.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, not the Son of a man. All of us have had a human father that helped us to be born, and then God the Father.
Yeah.
This child would be different. Only God.
Wow.
He would be the Son of God.
Wow.
Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
You see, the angel came to Mary and made this pronouncement, but her response was, how can that be? And then came the reason. I'm a virgin. Elizabeth's reason could have been, I'm barren. What's our reason? That what God says will happen can't happen.
Yep.
Wow.
What's our reason?
Come
How
on.
Can this be? You see, God says it will be.
That's right.
And here, Mary's response to nothing is impossible with God was this. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
Wow, that's incredible.
Imagine though, you're this teenage girl. For some of you, it's not that hard. For Joel, it's a little more difficult. For you guys, you're doing okay with this challenge. You're asked by God to do this. What are your thoughts? Maybe your thoughts are, man, what are people going to say? What are people going to say when my stomach starts to grow? You in the air?
Oh, yeah.
What are the relatives going to say? What are my friends going to say if I do what God's asking me to do?
Wow.
I'll tell you what they're going to say. They're going to say, do you really expect me to believe that an angel appeared to a teenage girl who then got pregnant without ever having sex and ended up having a baby in a barn that turned out to be the Son of God? See, so many teenage girls get pregnant out of wedlock today that Mary's story loses its punch in 2006 in Chicago.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's not out of the ordinary. We meet a young girl who's pregnant. Oh, hey, man, it'll be okay. We're desensitized to the shock of that. And then if maybe you're the mother of a child that gets pregnant as a teen, other mothers say, don't worry, it happens all the time. Don't worry, you'll get through it. Not in Mary's day. Mary grew up in a close-knit Jewish society where if you got caught in the act of adultery, you'd be stoned to death.
There you go.
This was not normal. And she had to think, what are people going to say when my stomach starts to grow with this child? Will they believe when I tell them it's the Holy Spirit that came upon me? Imagine our day and age. Imagine if Jesus were going to try to come back today with all of our family planning clinics to help fix situations that might not bring such good light on the family name. You know? Imagine Mary's transcript coming through. Let's see. Pregnant, no father, angel appeared. Recommends psychiatric treatment. And so our generation, which needs a Savior perhaps more than any that's ever been.
Yeah, true, bro.
Our situation, our generation is too humane to ever let that child be born. We'll take care of that problem. Intense.
Wow.
Mary was faced with doing what God said in the midst of what would everyone think.
Yep.
What would everyone think? And what was Mary's response? She said, I'm the Lord's servant. You know, the bottom line is, Mary became the first person ever to accept Jesus Christ on His terms, no matter what the personal cost to her would be.
Wow.
A teenage girl.
Amen.
Responding to God Almighty.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Amen.
You know, I think about moments that change everything. I think about the moments in my life that have changed everything. And maybe it'll cause you, hopefully, to think about your life. And those certain moments that once they happened, things were totally different. Now, births change everything, don't they? I'm looking at a few little miracles here that change everything. So I think my birth changed things more for my mother than it did for me. So I won't talk too long about that. But then a major moment in my life that changed everything was when I was 8 years old. Here I am going along, healthy young kid, and bam, within one day, I got a disease called Guillain-Barré, which some of you have heard me speak about, where in one day I went from being absolutely fine, healthy, to being completely paralyzed from the eyebrows down on a breathing machine because my lungs couldn't work without it in a hospital bed. Now that was a moment that changed everything. Changed everything for me, changed everything for my mother, my father. Life changed. My mom and dad lived out of a hotel 2 hours from home in Dallas where I was in ICU at Dallas Medical City Hospital. Everything was different. You know, a lot of times things like that happen in people's life and they become very, very bitter. Bitter with God. When difficult moments happen that change everything. Some of them we bring on ourselves. As we think of all the teenage pregnancies today, over one decision, one moment of passion that then brings on a child growing within you.
Yeah.
And all the shame, the guilt, the responsibility for that one moment of passion.
Wow.
And then you think, wow, Mary faced all that without ever having that one moment of passion.
Mm-hmm.
Without ever making that bad decision. But we've all made bad decisions, haven't we?
Yep.
You all made decisions that lead to consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's pregnancy, whether it's an STD, whether it's AIDS, whether it's a theft that leads to a felony, whatever it is. We've made bad decisions that change everything.
Yep.
Or disease, which happened to me, which, you see, that is an extra special tool of Satan to make us bitter. Because we can't blame it on somebody else.
Mm.
Right?
Good point, yeah.
When we go and we steal something, we commit this act of passion, As much as we want to blame it on other people, we made that choice.
Yep.
But when we get a disease like I did, see, that makes me go, hey, I didn't do anything to bring this on.
Yeah.
And the temptation is just to be angry at God.
Mm.
And bitter with God. But see, when you believe in a sovereign God that is able to take a virgin and have her have a child.
Yep.
That would then be born on earth and raised up to become a man. Because see, Christmas isn't about the baby.
Nope.
It's about the man that baby became.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
We don't celebrate nationally holidays over babies. We forget them. The only ones we celebrate are presidents or Martin Luther King. Babies that grew up to be men or women that did something that changed everything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's who we celebrate. Yep. And as we celebrate Christmas, that's who we're celebrating.
Amen.
Jesus grew up and laid His life down on the cross for us.
Yep.
I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro. We're with you.
For whatever reason, I didn't become bitter with God. Somehow I was able to accept even my paralysis in the light of Hebrews 12. That we're to endure hardship as discipline. Mm-hmm. That God is disciplining us as sons. And I believe God taught me a lot through that paralysis. When I came out of that paralysis, I was in a wheelchair for a year. Crutches, and I wear braces to this day. My windpipe is small. My vocal cords are half paralyzed. And so you hear a wheeze when I speak. Right? I had it tough. I was the crippled kid in school. You know, the girls in my school didn't want to date me. They made fun of me. I'm not saying I had it any harder than any other teen here today. Being a teen's not easy. It's not. But that doesn't let us off the hook either.
That's right.
2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8. Here's Paul speaking to the Corinthians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. You ever feel this way?
Wow.
I felt this way when I was getting called the cripple kid at school. Made fun of. Had no place. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Paul felt this way because of his stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hardships it brought on. But I find it funny that the man who would write, "We will not be tempted beyond what we can bear," would also write, "We were far beyond our ability to endure." How about that? Wait a minute, I thought you said we won't be tempted beyond what we can bear. Here he's saying, it was far beyond our ability. This had to be some intense suffering right here. Okay, but it doesn't contradict. Read on. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God.
Wow.
Yep.
Who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him, we've set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. Guys, Paul believed in a God that was able to take a virgin and give her a pregnancy that would produce a Savior of the world.
Yep,
that's right.
Paul believed in a God that could rescue him from people that wanted to stone him to death, kill him, plots to kill him, shipwrecks.
Yep.
What in our life can our God not rescue us from? See, but these things happened to Paul very specifically so that he wouldn't rely on himself.
Right.
This is my Christmas wish for you.
Come on.
And for me.
Okay.
That we could take what happens in our lives.
Yeah.
And the challenges that you know so well right this very minute. And realize, God allows us to go through these hardships so that we could realize we are not enough to do it.
Mm.
You can't do this on your own. Why would you even think of it?
Yep.
Why would you try? Look at the world of people out there doing it on their own.
Yep.
Paul said this happened so that we would stop relying on ourselves and rely on God who raises the dead.
Yep.
Do you believe that's God? That raises the dead. You see, I believe God worked through what happened to me. Being crippled, being in braces and crutches. Because in Texas, in high school, if you don't play football, well, you just don't exist.
Well,
you got to know what I'm talking about if you understand peer pressure at school.
Yep.
It is life in Texas. But I couldn't do it. So that was further insult to injury. You know what I'm saying? But God used it to guide me in the direction of theater.
Yep.
Where God had given me ability and talents. And I believe even shaped me through all the feelings I went through, because theatrical people need to use emotions to actually do things. That's what acting is. So see, I believe God was in control and guided my life to take me from a small East Texas town of a few thousand to Manhattan, New York City, where I got into a school where thousands audition from all over the world and they accept 200 to 250 kids.
Wow.
And I'm talking from 18 to 30, but I was 18 and God put me in that school.
Wow.
And see, it was in New York City, not Southern Texas Bible Belt, that another moment in my life happened that changed everything.
Mm.
I was invited to church.
Mm.
Amen.
Wow. Yep.
I was invited to a special part of the church called the Daytime Ministry. You know, as we grow as a church, we'll be able to create different ministries that can meet the needs of different types of people.
Yep.
Well, Steve and Lisa Johnson had created a daytime ministry. What does that mean? Well, church is at night, Wednesday night, right? But people that are on Broadway or musicians, they work at night. They can't go. So they said, let's have church for them Thursday at noon. And that's where I went to the daytime ministry. That's where I got baptized.
Wow.
And became a Christian. Now, that was another moment that changed everything.
Yeah,
you know, just a week or so ago, we saw Ivana get baptized.
Amen.
And already she started studying the Bible with one of her friends.
Amen.
And it was so cool. The other night, Wednesday night, we had men's night out. And what we did was we took some time, as the Bible says, to encourage each other.
Yep.
And I thanked one of the brothers, and I said, now you have to thank and encourage another brother. And you have to encourage another brother, but you can't pick someone that's already been picked.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, everybody was so encouraging, but certain ones really moved me.
Yep.
Pat Jr. picked his father,
yeah.
Pat Sr.
Yep.
And he shared in front of all the guys. I want to encourage his dad. He talks about guys he's met and reached out to that had special things they need help with that he couldn't help them with. So he would bring them to his father.
Amen.
And he said, watching my dad help them with their life through the scriptures, it blew me away.
Amen.
But that wasn't all. He said also, my father and my mother's marriage. I would hope to have a marriage like that.
Amen.
You don't hear a lot of kids say that, do you?
No, you don't.
And I think sometimes in the church, we that are raised by Christian parents get a little spoiled. And we forget what it's like to have parents that aren't Christians.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You know, until we get out there and see what's going on.
Yeah.
But he thanked his dad. He encouraged his dad. Then it was his dad's turn. So his dad picked Roger. And he said, my son wouldn't be thanking me for all those calls I called Roger and said, how do I be a husband? How do I be a dad? Help me with my children.
Yeah.
And you see the fruit of that.
Yeah.
In the same way, Joe encouraged Jay. Because Jay reached out to him and helped him become a Christian.
Yeah.
And it's helped him in his life in many, many ways.
Yeah.
It was special to see Juan thank Chris
yeah.
for especially bringing that help in Spanish.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
where we'd be if that was not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it came around and Seth thanked John.
Yeah.
just that Seth wanted to encourage him as he studied the Bible with him. And I thought, well, now who in the world is John going to pick? Because he just doesn't know many people yet. The next thing he said is, I want to encourage Dre.
Amen.
We're all waiting. Okay, amen. I mean, Dre's awesome. I mean, Dre's been studying the Bible with three of his friends recently.
Amen.
And one of them came out of church and Joel said, you know, so how long have you known Dre? He said, I've known Dre forever. But let me tell you something, Dre is telling everybody he knows about this.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
Well, John said, I want to encourage Dre because the very first Sunday I ever came to church, he got baptized.
Amen.
And that was so inspiring to me.
Yeah.
See, John went to a church for a while that teaches you have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Few churches teach that.
Yeah.
And this was not the Chicago Church of Christ, just to make that clear. It was another Church of Christ in this area.
Yeah.
He went there, and they baptized him without ever studying the Bible with him and challenged him to repent of his sins. We cannot be naive, guys.
Yep, that's right.
Just because the church says they teach the right doctrine, that they're doing anything right.
Yeah.
He had to sit down and study the Bible with Seth. Study the Bible with the other guys.
Amen.
And repent of some major things.
Amen.
And he has repented.
Amen.
Of some intense sins.
Amen.
So that earlier today we got to see him be baptized.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife Laura restored.
Right.
See, it's so moving. The moments that change everything today don't happen through scary angels. You might call them angels, but they don't wield all the power of a mighty supernatural thing.
Come on.
In other words, I was riding in New York City on the subway when my angel walked in. And his name wasn't Gabriel, it was Tom. But, you know, he was, to me, he was an angel. See, and today that word angel throws people off because we use the word angel to mean the love of our life. An angel came to me. No, I'm talking about an angel that brought the Word of God.
Yep.
This man, Tom, was riding the trains just to share his faith. Just to go out and reach out to someone else. And let me tell you something. Listen up. When he sat across from me on that train and shared his faith with me, a stranger, that was a moment that changed everything in my life.
Yep.
Satan works so hard to belittle what it means when you share your faith with someone.
Yep.
What will they think? What will they do? How will they feel? Let me tell you something. If they are open to God Almighty, it will be a moment that changes everything in their life.
That's right.
Come on. This guy, Tom, he wasn't this super macho, cool-looking dude. Be honest, he was older than me and kind of nerdy. But you know what? That's the worldly way to look at things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He invited me to church. Then he invited me to sit down and study the Bible. Now there's a moment that changes everything.
Yep.
There are people who have gone to church their whole life. But when you sit down and open the Word and study the Bible and focus on you, that changes everything.
Yep.
He did the Word study with me. In the Word study, we show scriptures that teach people what the Word of God really is. It's bringing what Gabriel brought to Mary. It's bringing God's purpose for his life to you.
Amen.
And we studied how the Word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And then he said, man, this will train you and teach you. Now, are you living by the standard of the Word? And I was a religious guy. And so I looked at him and I said, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is the Word of God. Okay, next scripture. Hebrews. That's the Word is living and active right there. And how it'll expose everything and uncover everything before God. And so you gotta let the Word in and cut your heart. So is this how you're living? Oh yeah. That's it. Amen. Okay, let's go over to John. You can't live by your feelings. You have to live by the Word of God. Feelings aren't your standard. The Word of God is the standard for your life.
Amen.
So is this how you're living? Yeah. Okay. Let me say something here. And that's what it took three scriptures to get in.
Come on.
First two, I knew they were true, and I knew I wasn't doing it, but I was like, oh yeah, this is it. By the third one, when he asked me specifically, is this how you're living? And I had to say to him, look, I know this is true, but no, this isn't the way I'm living. It is the way I want to live.
Amen.
And that was a moment that changed everything.
Yep.
Went on to study the scriptures. Was baptized just that Sunday. Just, you know, about a week later, I was baptized into Christ.
Amen.
You know, I could go on and talk about my decision to go into ministry. My decision to marry Teresa. I think who you marry, who you're with, that's a big decision.
Yep.
A moment that will change everything mm-hmm. in your life. I could talk about the decision to move to Syracuse, to leave the church there. The decision to move here, to Chicago, to start the church here.
Amen.
See, those are moments that change everything.
Yep.
And I don't just mean for you. See, imagine when Paul came on in to the province of Asia before he experienced all those hardships. When Paul arrived in the city of Corinth, that was a moment that changed everything for the city of Corinth.
That's right.
Yeah. You guys with me here?
Yeah, bro.
We forget how powerful what God is doing really is.
Yep.
We think, well, it's just the baby Jesus at Christmas. Doesn't mean a whole lot. It means a whole lot.
Yep.
Oh, the church planting in Chicago doesn't mean a whole lot. It is a moment.
That's right.
That'll change everything.
Yep. That's right, bro.
That's why Rosalind always goes, amen! Because I believe God guided us to have the inaugural service in Oak Park and guided us to be all out there sharing our faith that night.
Yeah.
And that was a moment that changed everything for you, wasn't it?
Amen.
I look at Teresa. I go on and on.
Amen.
A moment that changes everything. When Anthony reached out to Ivana. Changed everything. And then her coming to be a part of us. And she's been so vocal and during the meet, it changes it. Doesn't it change everything for us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One new visitor comes in and they may hear Ivana commenting during a Bible talk, and that may be the moment that changes everything.
Yep.
We don't realize how powerful what we have to say
really
is. To not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. In preparation for communion, as we focus on the death of Christ, we're focusing on the resurrection. And that's the last moment I want to talk about that changed everything. See, if Jesus had stayed in the grave, then there'd be no reason to go through all the hardships and do all the things that God has asked us to do. But God did raise Him from the dead. In the same way He took that baby and put Jesus in that teenage girl who never gave in to having sex, although people say she did before the birth. That's the same God who took Jesus sealed up in the womb of the earth for 3 days. Dead. Physically dead. And raised Him to life. Now, what in our lives, guys? Here's where it comes home.
Come on. Bring it home.
What in your life as a teenage girl? Or a college age man. Or maybe a senior citizen like Roger. What in your life is so hard that God cannot rescue and deliver you from it?
Come on now.
Question is, do you believe that an angel appeared to a teenage girl who then became pregnant without ever having sex and ended up in a barn in the middle of the night where she gave birth to a baby that then grew up and preached publicly and raised up other men that would go to all the world and change every city and every person they came in contact with.
Wow.
And then died on a cross. And 3 days later, that very God raised Him from the dead.
Amen.
And then took an angel named Tom or Anthony or Ivana, or Jay, and put them in your life to see if you believed it. That's why we celebrate communion.
Amen.
That's the power. And as we leave here today to get ready for Christmas, we got to believe we can go out and there are people we can get in a conversation with tonight or tomorrow or the next day in the after Christmas cheaper time to buy things, Rush. Amen. Amen. We're all good disciples will be. Amen. But I want you to change your thinking here. Rather than the way Satan wants you to think, what are they going to think of you when you actually reach out and tell them about your faith? Question is, could this just might be a moment that'll change everything?
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
For her.
Mm-hmm.
For that other teenage girl over there.
Yeah.
That's the power that we hold.
Yep.
Amen.
God entrusted the future of the entire world to the response of a couple of rural teenagers. And what they do when the angels appeared to them.
Yeah.
And we sit here because they did what God asked them to do.
Yep, that's right.
In the same way as we take communion, celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, God has entrusted the fate of our world to the response we will have to His message. Let's make this a moment that'll change everything.